Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprises throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program recorded weekly at WJR in Detroit. During the spring and summer of 2015, only the second hour of our show, which features listeners' questions, is heard live each week from 4 to 5 p.m. every Saturday on WJR 760 AM in Detroit. However, both hours of this show are available each week on this podcast and are available to all of our affiliates across the state of Michigan. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor Podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Hello, I'm Foster Brown, and welcome to this first hour of the Internet Advisor. For all of you folks out there who are joining us by our podcast or through our affiliates, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. We've got a great one lined up for you. You know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. And in this bleak northern setting, we're finally getting some nice things to look at. A few things blooming. And we're going to be talking about photography in this first hour with Terry White, an outstanding photographer and somebody who has got some good tips for you. All that coming up in hour one. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, co-host and producer of the program, along with my posse in studio here, Gary Baker, co-founder of this show. Good to have you here, of course.
It's always good to be here.
Glad to have you day. Off the La Crosse Trail.
That's right, yes. We were in Toronto last weekend, and Justin did real well, and they did real well on Friday night, and we're going to have a really big a game on Tuesday when we play Brother Rice. He plays for Catholic Central. So,
if you've been following us for a while, for these numbers of years, we bring our families into this and very proud fathers of different accomplishments. I know Ed Rudell is not with us today because he is at Grand Valley State College, where he is celebrating the graduation of his oldest child, Chardane. And congratulations to her.
Absolutely. Congratulations. And soon to him, too, because she'll soon be on somebody else's payroll.
Yes. And all those student loans may get paid sometime in the near future. Somebody who was a survivor of this kind of a stage of life is Cal Carson, who's also with us.
Obviously, Mr. Baker has not been taking notes, because as long as you have a daughter, you have a pocket that she can reach into.
You know, so true.
I have four of them, and I have to say that I have been blessed with 17 grandchildren. And while we are often called as grandparents to duty every day, I love it. I love it. Wouldn't miss it, and we've been very blessed with granddaughters. Well, guys, this has been kind of a big week in terms of some of the things that have been going on in the news, and I wanted to touch on them briefly. We've got Terry White coming. Cal, you've known Terry for many years.
1 or 2 days.
As the founder of Mac Group Detroit.
Yes, he was the founder of Mac Group Detroit.
And that was one of the first Mac Groups, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's called Mac Group.
Yeah. There were a number of user groups that were across the country at the time, but Mac Group was probably one of the first ones that was incorporated or formed.
And really one of the premier ones, I think, in many ways.
Well, we had and still have a very active group of people who still do user group type meetings and that sort of thing, which were things that were really, really big back before something called the internet sprouted up.
Yeah, when you didn't have to be face to face.
Exactly. Where people could, you know, people had to, like, you know, all join together to be able to share information back and forth to do demonstrations because they had things called, I don't know, 1200 baud modems. You know, you just didn't have all the wonderful things.
I can also say, because I've used the services, their services, you have a Genius Bar there that is excellent. And they're just
folks who have been regular users for many years, and boy, they helped me out a number of times with my MacBook Pro.
You know, one of the slogans of the Mac group was people helping other people understand and appreciate their Macintoshes.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. If you're excited about something, you're just sharing it with someone else.
Well, Terry is going to be with us. He's an expert on photography. He's back in town, as a matter of fact, to speak to the Mac group. This will be on Sunday, April 26th. I realize some of you may be hearing this afterwards, but you're going to want to hear what Terry has to say about Lightroom, and we're going to be talking about Creative Cloud. All that coming up just a little bit. But before we get there, guys, a big anniversary this week. Did any of you see that?
You're talking about Twit?
No, YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. That's right.
You turned 10 years old. I think Twit was last week, and that's This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte, and they celebrated 10 years.
That was last week. You're right. I missed it. See,
but it's kind of interesting.
I'm a week late.
Well, we're going to send a greeting to him, by the way, guys. At some point, we're going to send a greeting to him. That's to Leo Laporte. But I was fascinated to see that YouTube started 10 years ago this week.
That's amazing. And just think of, you know, everybody uses it now.
Well,
it's hard to believe.
What have you guys used it for? What has it meant to you to have YouTube available to you, Cal?
Well, YouTube does two big things for me. One of them is for pleasure and one of them is for occupation. For learning how to do something. Oh, my God, I want to put together, a lawn chair.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done one before, but, you know, it's a good price over here at the store, and if I put it together, it's cheap, but I have no idea how to do it. You go out on YouTube, you find 5 or 6 different YouTube videos, compare them, see if the people look like they know what they're talking about, follow it, and before you know it, wow, you're putting together your own lawn chair.
Yeah.
So that side of it for learning, I use a lot for. The other side I use a lot for is for entertainment.
It has become an incredible source,
hasn't
it?
It's a great place. I mean, I love comedians, and I will go out in like George Carlin, like, you know, God rest his soul, he's gone. But some of the things that he did in the past were just absolutely phenomenal, and you can watch those things.
Gary, how about you?
I haven't uploaded a file to YouTube since this morning. and before that, it was Wednesday morning.
So tell me what that is when you say upload, because that really was where it started at.
So what I do is I do video for my son's lacrosse game. He and he plays for Catholic Central.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take the video, I go home, I take and convert it to a MOV file. So I take and use
a codec. .mov file, right?
.mov.
Right.
It's a codec that compresses it and turns it into something that's viewable. And then I just upload it, and it's 6 gig or so. It's about an hour long. For all the parents, the kids, and especially for the coaches that then on and use it, and they can use it in training and
to analyze the games and things like that.
Team talks and whatnot, and say, "Hey, you were out of position here. See how you're supposed to slide there. See, that's perfect. That's exactly what you should have been doing."
Wow, that is fascinating. For training then, and for analysis, that is fascinating.
Probably even a scouting tool if you're looking for a good lacrosse player.
I understand it's also
I
understand it's also a great place for people to watch music videos that are coming up, and just so many more things. YouTube. And who knows what it will be in the future in terms of...
And what I do is I make them unlisted. That way, the other team can't see, you know, our films too. So,
hey, back in just a moment to talk about photography with Terry White. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, our first hour of the program. Yes, there are 2 hours. For those of you who are tuning in right now to our, I should say, you've downloaded our podcast and listening that way, or you're listening to us on our affiliates, there is a second hour of the program, just in case you don't get to hear it on your particular radio station, or if you've downloaded the podcast, there is more to come, and that will be our live hour on WJR, which is from 5 to 6 every Saturday, and we take calls from listeners at that time. By the way, you can find us, of course, online anytime at internetadvisor.net, and some really neat changes are coming there. In the merry month of May, we're going to be having a brand new website put up. So I've seen some previews of it, guys, and it looks really, really good. So I'm looking forward to that. Right now, however, I would like to introduce somebody to you who has been a very special person to Detroit, to the Mac community, and to photography as well. And that is Mr. Terry White, who is with us right now on our line. Terry, I'm glad to have you with us. I understand that you're going to be in Detroit, and for some of the people, this will have passed already, but you're going to be in Detroit this coming Sunday to do a very special presentation on Adobe Lightroom and Creative Cloud for a group of people that you have known very well for quite a few years.
Absolutely. So I'm going to be presenting. Actually, today I'm at the Midwest Photography Day of Photography program, and tomorrow I'll be at Mac Group. Mac Group Detroit.
And you founded Mac Group Detroit. We talked a little bit about it before you joined us. But
I founded August
24th, 1986.
That's, 1986. That's a few years ago. You must have been very young.
I was at the time. I was only four.
What were the Terry? What were the Macs that you were on at that time? I'm not that familiar with Macs.
At that time, it was a 9-inch black and white monitor. Everyone had the same one. It was either a Mac 512 Enhanced or a Mac Plus.
Oh wow! How far we have come.
Yes, incredible.
Do you remember when the Apple II Color came out?
I do.
When was that? I'm trying to remember the
year. That had to be in the 70s, like 78, 79.
Was it 70? I didn't know if it was 78. It was before 80, but I couldn't remember. And I know that the Apple II didn't come out until the very, very beginning of 77, right?
Right, yeah, it's like 76, 77.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to go down that history path, we might as well just shoot it all the way. So let me ask you, Terry, what was the first digital camera that you owned? Because you were doing you're big in digital photography now.
My first digital camera, and it was funny because I knew then that was the last day I would shoot film, was actually the QuickTake 100. It was Apple's first digital camera. It shot a lovely 640 by 480 image in nice grainy color. And
my goodness.
You connected it to your Mac via serial cable to download the images, and it ran on, I think, two AA batteries.
Oh. And at that time, even with that very, very rough interface and everything that went along with it, you knew digital was the way to go.
That was the day I stopped shooting film.
Why? Why?
Because I knew then that I would always want the convenience of being able to shoot whatever I want at no additional cost other than batteries.
Oh.
And being able to bring those images directly into my computer and do whatever I wanted to do with them. And,
even though the quality wasn't on a par with, let's say, you know, a film that had been developed?
Well, even back then, my cameras were, you know, point-and-shoot, like sure. Kodak instant cameras.
Right.
So they weren't great to begin with.
And today, you know, nobody uses film today because digital is so much better than film ever was.
Well,
right?
Some professors.
So what that says is I was right.
Absolutely.
All right. All right.
Well, you know, we were just remarking how things changed. Usually, you know, back then when you talked photography, you were talking about darkroom. Now you're talking Lightroom.
Right.
So what's going? What's this? What's
what
Adobe
is Lightroom?
Lightroom?
Yeah.
Lightroom is Adobe's photo management and adjustment tool. So here's the thing about photography, especially digital now, that we're all shooting images, whether it be with a camera, a smartphone, a toaster, whatever it is you're shooting your images with, you're not getting less images, you're getting more. And you're going to have more and more every year, because every year you're taking new pictures all year long. So what do you do with these tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of images? And Lightroom's the answer.
Have you found that now that you have a tool like Lightroom that you are better at managing all these images? I mean, because in my opinion, folks shoot a lot more, for lack of a better term, crummy pictures than they did when they had film. Because when you had film, you had to get it right. You only had so many shots at that time. Talk about how Lightroom helps management or helps a person to be a better manager of photos.
Well, I mean, the one thing for me, at least as a Lightroom user, is when I bring my images in. So let's say I went to a party and I shot 100 frames. When I bring those 100 images in, I immediately start going through them. And what Lightroom helps me do is by just with a keystroke, I can mark it as a pick or reject or five stars or color label. So the ones that I know I'm never going to use, out of focus, bad composition, accidentally shot the floor, whatever it is, those I'm immediately marking as an X, and just that way when I'm done marking through the 100, I can hit a command key and a keyboard shortcut and find all the rejects and immediately send them to the cornfield, immediately trash them. So they're gone. Now, I think back at, I remember opening fold, like those, you know, those envelopes from your images that you got or your photos that you developed on film and you got from the photo lab.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I would still see that image shot of the floor. And for some reason, you just can't throw away the physical picture. Yeah. But I have no problem deleting.
Because you paid good, you paid good money for it. That was the problem.
You paid good money for You paid a, you know, back then maybe a dollar for that image.
Yeah.
Before.
Isn't that horrible?
You just can't throw it away.
But on the other hand, Terry, one of the problems, and you alluded to it, Cal, is I have so many more images than I've ever been able to manage. And management, I think, for me, is probably the biggest issue. Not necessarily composition or anything else like that.
Because you got to find it, right?
Yeah.
If you ever want to show it to anybody, you got to find it again.
Yeah. And it's, for instance, this new setting I've noticed on my iPhone 6 is HDD, means that I can hold the button down and take like 10 images of something. I just discovered that the other day. So all of a sudden, I have even more than I had before. It is a really, and I think a lot of people who are listening right now, a lot of us suffer from that. We have many more images that we can possibly handle.
Take it up a step, and you not only have more images, you have them in more places. Because like you said, you've got images on your iPhone.
Yes.
You've got images with your regular camera. You've got images with your DSLR. You have images with, you know, shot with maybe a GoPro or some other small device.
Sure, sure.
And they're on memory cards, they're on hard drives, they're on the cloud, they're in folders, they're all over the place.
So part of that management then is getting those things into a single place, I would imagine. And that would
Absolutely.
Be, I'm going to guess, the cloud?
That would be Lightroom.
Ah.
And then going from there to the various places.
All right, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Terry White is our guest right now. He's certainly a professional photographer and also somebody who has a rich history here in Detroit as a founder of the Mac Group in Detroit, a user group that's been there since 1986. Cal Carson, who's in the studio with us, is a faithful member of that. And we're talking about how do you handle this new abundance of images that we have, not all of them quite the precious images that we want to look back on fondly many years hence. How do you manage that? And then how do you store that? And the two topics that he's talking about with us today, and that will be the main topic for his conversation Sunday, April the 26th at the Birmingham Temple, will be Adobe Lightroom, which is a new tool for management, and then Creative Cloud. And we'll talk about the transition between those two. Cal, you want to say something before we
start? Yeah, Terry, the question that I have is, you know, we have a cross-section of listeners out there. So is Lightroom something that we can talk about who it's best suited for when we come back
Good
from the break?
Point. Let's do that when we come back, Terry. We'll talk about who these things are best suited for.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. You're listening to the Internet Advisor. By the way, you can find us online at internetadvisor.net, where on Sunday night you can download the entire podcast and listen to this at your leisure. Thanks for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. Well, hello once again, Foster Brown, the producer and co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker and Cal Carson in studio, and Ed Riddell, a proud dad that he is at Grand Valley State College right now with his firstborn, Sade, who is graduating there. And congratulations to Sade and to Ed and Tina Riddell on their first child graduating from college. With us online is Terry White, who is the founder of Mac Group Detroit. Back in 1986, a user group here, which is one of the premier Mac groups in the country, user groups, that is. And we're talking with him about something that is near and dear to his heart, which is photography and photography workflows in particular. Two items, Adobe Lightroom and Creative Cloud, are what help us with kind of organizing and focusing and storing this. And Cal, you had a question for Terry just before we broke. Why don't you relate that question again?
Sure, no problem at all. The question I had for Terry is basically this. Tell us, who is the person who would be most suited for something like Lightroom, or would they be better off with Elements or some other Adobe product? Could you elaborate a little bit on that for us, please?
Well, Lightroom started out as a tool and still is a tool for professionals primarily. That was the main objective for creating mm-hmm. Lightroom in the first place, you know, six versions ago. However, there are, you know, let's say that's the top of the pyramid, the pros. Then you have this large middle section of what I would call photo enthusiasts. These are people that don't necessarily make a living from photography. They don't even think about making a living from photography, but they're interested in photography. Yeah, they go out and spend money on gear. They buy better cameras. They buy mm-hmm. lenses, mm-hmm. and they just love the art of photography.
Right.
They love going, you know, traveling and buying, traveling and taking great photos. So I would say Lightroom is probably for that middle section and the top section. Then at the bottom, you have people that maybe their only camera is their cell phone.
And that would be me, I think, and probably a majority of our listeners, I think, most of us.
Yeah. Maybe it's their cell phone or smartphone, I should say, and it's their maybe a point and shoot, maybe a step above that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to ask the question of, well, how important is management to you? So even if you're a point-and-shoot or a camera phone person, you probably still have hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of images.
Terry, I would almost say it's more important for us, the people who, the rookies who tend to pile up all these things rather indiscriminately. Management is even bigger.
Right. So then the question becomes, well, would a person that's in that category spend money on a professional tool? So that's a question I can't answer. I don't know. It depends on how important it is to them. And if not, then perhaps Elements, which is Photoshop Elements in particular, is the lower end product for consumers. So it's a less than $100 product.
Okay.
And it's got photo editing capability. It's got a lot of the great power in Photoshop for editing. And it does have a management component, but the management component is not as, I would say, not as sophisticated as Lightroom.
Okay.
And it's not cloud-based, correct?
Correct. Well, Lightroom isn't cloud-based either. I mean, it has a cloud aspect to it, but your images are still on your drive.
Okay.
And the program is still on your drive.
All right. And that's good, I think, for us to hear out there to get some idea. Now, by the way, would you just for a moment step aside and let's throw in something that as Mac users, those of us who have Yosemite, which is the latest operating system, 10.3?
Yes.
I think it is. They recently came out with something called Photo rather than iPhoto, which was the old system that was out there. Could you comment just briefly on how good that is? You know, for, if you will, that bottom rung for organizing our images.
Well, I would say for that bottom level, Photos is probably a good enough solution, especially if you tie it into iCloud Photos.
iCloud Photos, right.
Right. Because here's what the goal of Photos and iCloud Photos is. First of all, if you're coming from iPhoto or Aputure, Photos is going to seem very anemic to you. It's going to feel like it has virtually nothing compared to what you're used to.
Yeah.
Because iPhoto and Aputure, which is Apple's prior professional tool, those tools were designed for doing a lot more editing and a lot more, touching up of your photos.
Right, tweaking.
Whereas Photos is more like the Photos app on your iPhone or on your iPad. So with Photos, you have the same, user interface for the most part. You have the same controls. But again, I think where Apple is trying to solve the same problem is by if you turn on iCloud Photos, then what happens is, let's say you have, just for a round number, you have 1,000 photos on your Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the minute you turn that on, those same 1,000 photos are still on your Mac, but they get uploaded to iCloud. Now, of course, on your iPhone and your iPad, you don't have that much storage. You don't have storage for thousands and thousands of photos.
Right. Matter of fact, that's probably the problem. They take up a lot of that space. Yes, go ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you turn on iCloud Photos on your iPad or your iPhone, you see those 1,000 photos, but they aren't really on your device.
Aha.
Now, the minute you tap on one, then you'll see a little circle as its progress bar is downloading that photo directly to your device.
Genius.
And caching it.
That is genius. So and then you make any kind of adjustments. You make any kind of adjustments.
Yeah. You can make adjustments, use it, share it. And after, I would say, I don't know what the time frame is, eventually it will disappear off the device again. It'll still show it, but it won't be taking up storage anymore.
Excellent.
So you only have taking up storage for the photos you recently worked on. And then if your photo sits there for long enough, let's say days, weeks, whatever, then it eventually will delete itself off the device, but still show in your library.
One more thing about this before we move on to Creative Cloud. I want to make sure we get there. I understand with Photos that even though it looks more simplistic, at least some of the things I've been reading, and Cal, correct me on this as a Mac user, even though it looks more simplistic, apparently behind the scenes, it's doing more things automatically in terms of adjusting light levels and contrast and things like that. Am I right on that?
Well, I really haven't noticed anything quite like that. I just know that behind the scenes it's being managed and the mechanics of it works better than iPhoto did before, because iPhoto would tend to bog down after you get a certain number of pictures in it.
Yeah.
And this has been somewhat still brisk, even with the 3,000 pictures I've got in mind right now.
Wow. All right, Terry White, by the way, our guest here, and Cal and And Gary, you're in studio here. My name is Foster Brown, by the way. And now, what I want to do, though, is because we touched on the cloud nature of this and how Apple is handling cloud and using it for the photos, which I think is ingenious. How does, now, moving up again to this more professional level with Lightroom, how does that tie, how can you tie that into the cloud then?
Well, if you have Lightroom as part of Creative Cloud, then you also automatically have access to what's called Lightroom Mobile. So just so if you have a iPad, iPhone, Android phone, Android tablet, you can download the respective apps for those devices. And any collections, which would be albums if you want to think of it in traditional term, in Lightroom, that you click to enable for Lightroom Mobile instantly show up on your other devices, as well as the web browser. So let's say I had a collection of 50 photos from a birthday party, and I click, add those to Lightroom Mobile. So those 50 photos are uploaded. Actually, a small representation of them is uploaded. That's great quality. And then they show up on all my devices in that birthday party collection. But also, I can just simply click share, and then I get a unique link created for that collection that I can send to anyone, no matter what they're on, as long as they have a web browser.
Well, that's genius.
So they can look at those images in the web browser. They can even like them or make comments to them. And those comments and likes actually sync back to Lightroom on the desktop.
Terry, for our users that aren't on Mac or Android, is Lightroom available also on the Windows platform?
Lightroom on the desktop is available on Windows, but not the mobile devices.
Okay. Is Photoshop then the one that is used by more non-Mac users, if you will?
No, actually, Photoshop is a different kind of tool. Photoshop is for photo editing, not photo management.
I got it. Okay. All right.
And it's used equally on both platforms.
I definitely will tell you that if you really want to see some absolutely fabulous, and I know I'm putting them, maybe even making them embarrassed, but if you want to go to Terry White's website and look at the photography that he has out there, it's absolutely amazing. The man has an eye with a camera that is just phenomenal.
Well, then we have to have an address for that. Terry, what's the address for your website?
Well, my main website is terrywhite.com, but if you're interested in specifically the photography, it's terrywhitephotography.com.
terrywhitephotography.com. Hey, we are just close to our time out. How about Creative Cloud? Any thoughts? Matter of fact, I tell you what we do. We're going to take a... Can you hang on for a few minutes more?
I can.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'd like to take a pause in just a moment and come back, and because there's one more element you wanted to talk about, which was Creative Cloud, and I want to make sure we get a little time to give you a chance to talk about that as well. We've been talking about Lightroom. By the way, what is the cost of Lightroom?
Well, Lightroom is $179 if you never owned the previous version. I think the upgrades are $79.
Okay.
Or, what we're going to talk about when we come back, if you sign up via Creative Cloud, then you can basically join Creative Cloud as a member and get access to Lightroom and the full version of Photoshop for $9.99 a month, or basically $120 a year.
Wow. We got to talk more about that in just a moment. That's Creative Cloud. We'll be talking about that great, it sounds like a great deal coming up with Terry White in just a moment. For all of you who enjoy taking pictures, we've been talking about mainly organizing those pictures and finding ways of being able to edit things. And what's fascinating now, ways of being able to access those things on many other devices. Coming back in just a moment with Terry White to conclude our conversation about photography as we're heading into the season for pictures. And once again, thank you for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program and the producer as well. And we are delighted today to have a guest with us who has been very important to the Mac community here in Detroit, but also as a photographer, I think, probably also just in general to photographers everywhere, because Terry White is somebody who has just created a standard of excellence in terms of his photography. And you can watch some of that. You can see some of those wonderful images that Cal Carson here was bragging a little bit about at terrywhitephotography.com. And we'll make sure that we link to that on our homepage as well. Terry, thanks again for being with us here. We're talking about Lightroom, Adobe's new management software that's out there. And also, we had talked a little bit about Creative Cloud as being a new approach to allowing people to get at an incredible array of editing and management and storage options at a very cheap price on a monthly basis. So please talk about that a little bit more.
Actually, I'm glad you set it up the way you did. Because that's exactly what it is. If you think about, let's say, 3 years ago, if you wanted a copy of Photoshop legally, it would cost you for the full version starting at $700.
Yeah.
If you wanted Lightroom, you add another $180 onto it or $200. Right. So now you're suddenly close to $1,000 for two pieces of software. That's literally just out of the question for that middle to low-end tier that we talked
about
earlier.
Right, right.
And now with Creative Cloud, it's basically opening up these professional tools to a market that never would not necessarily could afford, but never would afford them in the past.
Am I right that this is kind of the same model as, for instance, Office 365 from Microsoft, which allows you access to that whole array of the great, you know, office tools they have for basically $10 a month? This is the same kind of thing, only with photography.
Right. So Creative Cloud comes in different flavors. Of course, we have more tools than just photography tools, so there's a full Creative Cloud plan. But what we announced, I believe it was almost 2 years ago now, so around June 2015, so June 2013, we announced the Creative Cloud Photography Plan. Actually, I think it came out a little bit later that year.
But
the Photography Plan is basically looking at what do photographers need of our tools, and what's a way that we can get it in the most hands possible. So we came up with Lightroom and Photoshop, which are the two tools photographers are going to use the most, and basically pricing it very aggressively at $9.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And at that price, you're always on the latest version, and you always have access to these two professional tools.
And it's wonderful, you
add on to that, now with Lightroom Mobile, unlimited syncing of photos, so whether it's 1,000, 100,000, a million, doesn't matter.
Right.
You unlimited syncing of photos in that same price.
Wow. For $9.99 a month. Now,
I do it a little different way, Terry, and I don't use the Creative Cloud. I just use iCloud. I take a ton of photos, and instead of trying to edit them and get to the right one, I just ended up buying another 15 gig of iCloud storage for 99 cents a month. I figure I can store a bazillion photos in there. Can't find them, of course, but I can store them.
Are you saying, Terry, with Lightroom, I can store as much as I want out there so I can shoot camera raw shots
and pump them up there? We're talking two different things.
Okay.
We're talking syncing and storing. Storing to me says I'm going to be able to put a photo somewhere and delete it from somewhere else. That's storing.
Okay.
We're not storing. We're syncing.
So I want that to be clear.
Right. If you have 10,000 photos on your hard drive, you can sync those 10,000 photos to Lightroom Mobile, and they will be available on your devices, all 10,000.
And you know that they're going to be backed up properly.
No, that's storing. Syncing means if I delete 5,000 of those off my hard drive, then those 5,000 are also unsynced.
Okay, so essentially, you still have the control over what's being stored, right?
Correct. What's being synced.
Okay, I got you.
They store nothing.
They don't store anything.
They only sync it for you, so your multiple devices will keep it in sync.
So this is different from the Apple model, where essentially...
Because if you delete it from any of your devices, it is deleted from iCloud storage.
You're right. Wow, okay.
The only difference, though, is that with the Apple model, you're buying storage, places to actually store it, where with the Creative Cloud one, you're just using a syncing service.
Okay.
So where is
the difference is with iCloud, you're paying for the amount of storage it takes to sync your photos. With Creative Cloud, you're paying to use the photos and you're getting unlimited syncing of photos. You're paying to use the tools and you're getting unlimited syncing of photos.
So when you say syncing, so those photos that are on each of my devices?
They're available to your devices.
Where
is it?
They're all on your device.
They're all in Lightroom Mobile. They're in the cloud. But to me, like I said, storage means that I can put them there and then delete them from other places and they will stay there. That's not what syncing is. Syncing says if I delete them from anywhere, they're deleted from everywhere.
Right. Okay. So, but
They physically live on your hard drives wherever you keep them.
Okay. That's important to know.
Right. if your hard drive crashed and you lost everything, your images would still be synced to Lightroom Mobile, but you really wouldn't have a way to get them down. So we're not storing your photos. We're not a backup
important.
Service, to make that very clear.
Important. That's a very important distinction, not a backup service. But again, we're talking about tools and syncing, right?
Right.
Gary, are you getting that?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to figure out what this
means.
No,
okay, let me give you an example. If you were talking about CrashPlant, which is a popular cloud storage backup place.
Yeah.
If I pay for their service and back up my photos to CrashPlant and my hard drive crashes, I can go to CrashPlant and download my photos again.
Okay.
Because they're a backup service that's storing my photos.
Right. Like it was a separate hard drive that you put them on.
Correct.
Okay.
We're allowing you access to your photos everywhere.
But you have to store them on a backup drive, on a computer.
Correct. You still need to back up your computer.
Or in the cloud if you want.
They're basically a bridge for you.
Yep.
In other words, they bridge in between your iPad and your Mac. And so it syncs them across those two different locations, but they don't keep it for you. They just keep the two locations.
And it seems like
wherever I took the photograph.
That's a little bit off, too. So, okay, let's take the cloud aspect out of it.
And we're going to have to do this quickly, Terry, because we're coming to the end. So people are going to have to go and attend your lecture.
real quick, let's go back to before cloud services, and you had an iPad. You wanted to put photos on it. You plugged it in, and you synced those photos from iTunes to your iPad.
Right.
They lived in both places. They were taking up storage in both places.
Right.
With the cloud services and syncing, they're taking up storage on your computer, syncing and taking up storage on the cloud, not taking up storage on your devices. Does that make it clearer?
On the devices where it's not being stored. Okay, yeah, I think we got it. By the way, I was going to say, if you really want more details, it would be good for you to attend Terry's lecture that's going to be going on tomorrow afternoon, Sunday afternoon, April 26th at the Birmingham Temple. And we have more information on that on our homepage as well. Terry White, thank you so much for being with us and for sharing these insights. I hope it for people who have been looking for these kind of tools, it sounds like this second option is an exciting one. Terry, again, as it's always been good talking with you. You take care of yourself.
Thank you. It's been great. And thanks for having me.
All right. You're very welcome. Mr. Terry White, and again, if you go to terrywhitephotography.com, you can see some of his great work. terrywhite.com tells you more about him in general. And the Mac Group is meeting in Detroit on April the 26th. Hey, hang on, because in just a few minutes, we're coming back, and we'll be taking your live calls. You'll be able to hear what that was like on WJR 760 AM. All that coming up in hour number two of the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll find past podcasts, our toolkit of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget, look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Hello, this is Foster Brown, the co-host of the program and producer, and delighted to be with you here as our expert segment continues on WJR 760 AM, the great voice of the Great Lakes. And this time around, if you've got a question about your computer, about getting on the internet, getting around it, or getting over the problems you encounter there, here's a magic number for you to call right now. 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. And our experts are ready to give you some answers. Delighted to have you with us, and start calling 800-859-0957. That's the avenue for you to get your questions answered about the internet, about your computer, maybe about your printer, or about a device that you're using. And in studio with me, I have Mr. Gary Baker, my co-host for these 18 years going on that we've been working here. And also Cal Carson is with us. Mr. Ed Rudell, who is our other member of our team, is a proud dad today out at Grand Valley State University, where he is attending the graduation of his firstborn, Chardet, who is graduating there. And congratulations to Chardet and to Ed and Tina Rudell on their young one who is graduating. And as
and
I said,
going out into the world.
And going out into the world. She had a really neat time in London. Remember that? She went out there as an intern.
Oh yeah.
and had a very special time. You've had a young lady and your family, Cal.
Who's oh yes, made Meredith her way out. Meredith, and she's definitely she's gone through some of the same things as well, and going off into the world, and you know, who knows, maybe. In the near future, I'll have to, you know, pick up a son-in-law or something like that.
It's almost inevitable.
Yeah. Hopefully, he'll be wealthy and he'll buy me an Apple Watch or something.
Well, folks, again, as I say, our number is 800-859-0957, and we are going to be getting to those calls in just a little bit. But first of all, we have Mr. Mike Brennan, who's with us, and Mike is the editor of MI Tech News, and that is it's a source of technology news, entrepreneurial, and many, many, many other things that we co-sponsor with Mike. And Mike, thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Delighted to have you. And by the way, I know that you're on the cusp of doing something very important. We'll talk about that in just a minute. It's going to be a brand new look for MI Tech News. But before we get to that, I know that something that's going on this week has been Earth Day. It was on Wednesday, but there's a festival going on in Rochester.
Indeed there is. It's called MI Earth Day Fest. Hey, appropriate name, right? Rochester Hills. And it's going to be, it's taking place right now. It started on Friday. It runs through Sunday. It's in the city center and also in the municipal park, and they're expecting upwards of 50,000 people to come. They have various stages for music, for entertainment, for kids. They have booths, they have food, and of course they have all that stuff. If you want to know how to do stuff to be green, as it were, besides being Kermit's green, but a different kind of green. They've got 150 booths there. They'll tell you all about that.
You know, this is something with all of our devices now running on electricity. The whole issue has become even more critical, I think, as we've gone on. You know, I saw an article that you had in one of your headlines, and I kind of found it interesting, that U.S. millennials support Edward Snowden's efforts to pull back the veil on the U.S. government spying.
Yeah, those born between 1980 and 1999, which includes both my kids, they're all digitalities. They're really plugged into this, and they don't like the government snooping around on their phones and on their what they're doing on the Internet and on the text. So you have to wonder, this is the new generation coming up behind us, baby boomers, and I think it's going to really cause the NSA and some other government agencies some real issues because they're not going to put up with it.
Now, by the way, folks, I've just chosen a couple of the headlines that come through MI Tech News every week. It's absolutely free, by the way, available to you. And the reason we promoted this with Mike is that it's a great resource for people who are interested in technology in the state of Michigan or entrepreneurship or a whole host of other things. And, Mike, you've been writing for a long time, writing news about technology, but you've expanded now, so there's so much more that people get for nothing every week through MI Tech News, more than just print.
Well, yeah, we've got audio. This show, for instance, not only what you guys do for the 2 hours, but what we're doing right now, both of those are available as podcasts for those who can't listen live. Mm-hmm. We also have the Digital Divas. We have IT and the D. We have a whole host of stuff. We have some really interesting stuff in negotiation I can't talk about quite yet, but it's going to really expand the reach of our little media group here. And the whole idea is we have it all in one place. You want to learn all about what's happening in Southeast Michigan technology, come to my website, and you can get it served up any way you want to get it.
And by the way, if you go to our website, internetadvisor.net, you can just simply scroll down the page, and you will find next to Mike's smiling face, it says that you can simply subscribe now. And what that means is that you'll put your name in there, your email address, and you don't have to spend a penny. You'll get all these headlines, or many, many, many headlines of different aspects of things going on in news and technology and entrepreneurship throughout the state of Michigan, plus all these other resources, all yours, on Fridays, delivered to your email address, free for nothing. And that is really big. Now, speaking of really big, you've got something exciting to announce in terms of the look of your site coming up this next week.
Well, if people like the newsletter, they're going to love the news site because essentially we developed the look and feel of the newsletter we've been delivering, which, of course, is co-branded with you guys. And the news site looks identical to it, and I have been spending all day today loading stuff, and I got all day tomorrow to load stuff. And then we've got 19,000 stories in our database that the developers are going to load in sometime next week. And
wow.
We hope to make the switch on Monday or Tuesday of next week.
Excellent. So what you'll be getting, by the way, folks, when you tune into or when you subscribe to MI Tech News, is you're going to be getting a brand new look for all of this. Will be coming down as well. Mike, thanks so much for being with us, and the very best to you as you put the finishing touches on your new site.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right. That's Mr. Mike Brennan, the editor of MI Tech News. And again, our number, and we'll be getting to Steve from Southgate and Bob from Adrian in just a moment, is 800-859-0957. My name is Foster Brown. Gary Baker and Cal Carson are in studio here. We're getting ready to roll up our sleeves and answer your questions. It's a unique opportunity you have to kind of step into a digital computer shop here and get some answers for your questions. 800-859-0957. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. By the way, we're delighted to say that for the rest of the spring and summer, all things remaining equal, we'll be here from 5 to 6 every Saturday. That's right. And so if you have a question stored up about your computer during the week, please feel free to give us a call at this time. That's right. Thank you very much, Rich. And thanks to the guys behind the glass, Rich Luzinski. And
you know
Eric.
That Rich is our engineer when that, yeah, when we get the sound effects.
All right. 800-859-0957. Let's head out to Bob from Adrian. Bob, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, my internet, I can't get online. I've been fighting this for probably 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I took it in my computer in the shop,
mm-hmm,
and they say that I need a password for my BIOS, and I didn't have any idea what a BIOS was. I have no idea how a password got put on there. I live alone.
Hmm.
And
that does sound strange.
They want $375 to fix it, and I just as soon buy a new computer. I like yeah, this computer.
Yeah, but for that price, you're right. You probably could buy something new. Cal, you got that furrowed brow.
Well, my first question is, what brand computer do you have?
It's a Lenovo.
Okay.
Lenovo?
And about how old is it?
I would say probably 5 years.
Okay.
You know something? I'm suspecting. I'm going to take a gut guess. Now, when you try to so it will boot up, but it won't connect to the internet, is what you're telling me?
That's correct. And the first thing I thought of was my router.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm, a good thought.
Very good.
I had that checked out in two different places.
Okay.
And then I run my telephone line. In other words, I hardwired it and plugged it in, and I still don't get anything.
Okay, so you're not on Wi-Fi then, you're on Ethernet directly to the router, right?
Yeah,
when you say hardwired.
I presume. I don't know that much about computers.
Well, no, when you say hardwire, I'm presuming that's what you mean. Okay.
Well, there's a wire that goes from the computer to
the router.
The same wire that goes to my telephone. That's not Ethernet, I don't believe.
After
it goes through my router, you know, I bypass the router entirely.
It's not the same. It's not an RJ11. It's an RJ45.
All right, Bob, let's back up a second.
Okay.
How do you get your internet signal, Bob? Do you get it through a DSL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's important to establish.
So, okay, so let's look at the game all the way from the wall. So if we're starting from the wall,
mm-hmm,
there's a wire that's coming from the wall, and it's going into a box that is your DSL router. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And from that box that is the DSL router, you have a different wire that leaves that box and goes into your computer, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I can tell you right now, your BIOS is not an issue in this entire game, because if it was, you wouldn't be able to boot up your machine.
Right.
So I'm going to say forget what that gentleman may have told you about that. I don't think that's the problem.
It's not. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Now, the next thing is you get your internet from AT&T?
I get it from D&P, a local deal from Deerfield, Michigan.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So then I would probably give them a call.
Yeah.
And I'd say, I'm having a problem with my computer connecting to the internet. I need you to come out and check the router that I have here.
Well, what I did is I took my router to the local shop in Adrian that DMP.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they said it checked out all right, and I called them back, and I said, it still isn't working.
Okay, mm-hmm. So...
And they sent me to Tecumseh, mm-hmm. and they had a guy that I've talked with there before, mm-hmm. and he checked out, and he said it's all right.
So did you take your computer at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. And were they able to make the computer work through your router?
Work. They made it work.
Through your router?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know.
Well, so they hooked up your router, and they said, because, you know, the other thing you can do is do you have a friend that also has this same company connectivity?
No,
Like a next-door neighbor?
Like a neighbor, anybody?
I have a friend that's got Comcast.
So if you were to go back into the store in Adrian, take your computer and your router, and say, can I plug this in and see if it works and see if I can make my computer work?
Yeah, that's easy.
Going through the router,
mm-hmm.
and what they're going to tell you is, you know, yeah, it checks out. We get a signal all the way through to your computer, but if your computer works, okay, now take it home and see if it works. If it doesn't work, and they use a different router and it still doesn't work, now we know it's your computer, not your router. So it's mm-hmm. a matter of
you taking the same configuration, right?
Yeah, just trying to rule out some of the possibilities.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, well, if it is my computer, what do I do?
So they should have an idea of what the problem is. And it's not your BIOS. And your BIOS, if you can boot your computer up and use it, it's not the BIOS.
That makes me angry that somebody would say that.
Well,
and they want to charge you a lot of money. Urgh.
I typed msconfig on there, mm-hmm. and there a box came up, and there were several things that were disabled. Everything that came up was disabled.
Well, yeah. That,
now, if you take it back in the store, as Gary has prescribed, and have them with the router that you have at home,
right.
and have them hook it up, and if it works there in the store, then you know for sure that your computer's okay, you know your router's okay. That right. means the service coming in from exactly. the outside is having an issue, and you need to have those guys come out and take a look at it.
One last thing, Bob. I just thought of this, and guys, what do you think? Have you changed the cable, you know, that goes from the router to your computer? Because it might be bad. There might be a break in it, kink in it, or something like that.
Well, when he goes into the store, he's taking all the pieces with him that he has at home.
And they will take and check that. That'll be the first thing they check is the cable.
Okay, right? Bob?
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, take that
Let us know how that worked out.
Yeah, please let us know how that works out. By the way, if during the week, folks, you have a question, simply go to internetadvisor.net. There's a contact us button there that you can send us your question and then the email address, and we'll get back to you as quick as we can. But Bob, for you, for instance, come on back and let us know through our contact us button exactly what's happened with you. 800-859-0957 is our number. Steve from Southgate, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. Got a question about desktop remote software. Do you have any recommendations on that? I know Windows has a built-in program. I've heard some mixed reviews. Could you guys try to do a remote from my home to my office computer? So I'm just looking for some suggestions there. User-friendly.
Is your office with a large company?
Small. Very small.
Very mm-hmm. small. So okay. it's you own the company?
No.
Well, but he will let you take and do the remote connect.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. That was the question.
I was trying to get. Sorry. Oh. Okay.
You don't have designs on his job. Okay. Thoughts, guys?
Yeah. My first thought right off the bat would be, you might want to. subscribe to a service called LogMeIn,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. will allow you to control your computer. At your office, over the internet, through a browser.
Okay, you want to go from your home to the business? Is that the issue?
Well, yeah, basically tap into desktop at work.
Yeah.
I mean, what about the built-in desktop that comes with Windows?
Here's what the trick is going to be with that. You're going to have to, there's a bunch of things that you're going to have to be able to do. You're going to have to be able to get the netted IPs at your house, the netted IP at your office, and make sure that translation is proper in order to be able to use something like remote desktop from one machine to the other. The other problem and that I would suggest that I why I didn't suggest that particular tool to use is that is fine to use within an intranet, all within the office. But if you want security to protect your data back and forth, you want to use something like LogMeIn where it's encrypted back and forth in between the two spaces.
Why don't you hang on a second? We'll come back, Steve, and maybe we're looking at some of the other suggestions that are out there. If you've got a question for us, by the way, now's the time to give us a call, 800-859-0957. And Chris out in Stockbridge will be back to talk with you along with Stephen Southgate. Thanks so much for being here as part of our expert service on WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, along with Gary Baker and Cal Carson. Just a reminder for you, by the way, folks, that we actually have a two-hour program. You're hearing the second hour live here on WJR, but there was a whole first hour in which we talked about photography with Terry White, who is an expert, founder of the Mac Group in Detroit, and an expert on photography. He talked about Lightroom, the new Adobe, our new version of that from Adobe, and also Creative Cloud. He will be speaking tomorrow, April 26th, at the Mac Group meeting at the Birmingham Temple. And if you go to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, you can click off and Cal find the directions to that.
Okay. Right on the homepage, you can find all the information.
Right, or go to macgroup.org. Now, guys, we had a question from one of our folks out there about
remote access.
And we talked about LogMeIn, which both you and Gary have used and can vouch for. A couple other ones you came up with, Cal.
LogMeIn is one. The other one is GoToMyPC, which I have used before as well. And an associate of mine is a very, very frequent user of a software called TeamViewer. So those three I am familiar with, and those three are all good choices to use. They all encrypt, so you can protect your data as it goes back and forth.
And just to make it clear, if you work for any kind of larger company, they may have rules and regulations of whether you can or cannot do remote desktop of any fashion, so you need to check with your IT group.
Always check with your IT person, just to keep things safe and secure.
Yep. Okay, very good. Hey, let's head out to Chris from Stockbridge. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Chris, how can we help you?
Good afternoon. I have a Windows XP laptop,
okay,
and I visited a commercial website. And now after I restart my laptop, I find an advertisement on a computer, like, you know, if I visit MSNBC or Fox or whatever, Fox News.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how do you get this advertisement off the laptop?
Okay. You may very well have gotten that toolbar. You picked up something when you went to a website, and this is not unusual. Just a quick question. Chris, you're running Windows XP laptop. Is it an older laptop than I'm going to imagine?
Yes, they're only paying $100 for it.
That's not so much the issue, but do you have any kind of security on that? Any kind of...
Not that I can think of. I try and visit just kind of trusted websites, if you understand.
Oh, nowadays, that's hard to figure out if you don't...
That won't help you.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, not anymore, unfortunately.
Well, you know...
Try and get rid of the cookies, too.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll deal with cookies. I like cookies. I think you will, too.
Gary brought some into the studios, man.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. They were chocolate chip today. But that'll help you move around the net. So cookies are not necessarily bad.
We'll get back to that in a second, though. Cal, in terms of what he's picked up.
Well, you know, it could be a toolbar that popped up that is doing advertising for you.
Right. What's it advertising? Do you know?
It's a vacuum cleaner company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty slick. I didn't know those were out there. I guess they just sucked them in. But anyway, what I'm going to suggest to you is maybe you might want to go to a website. Go to malwarebytes.org and download their malware utility, and then run that utility on there, and that should take that off that for you.
And look for the free version.
Yes.
Malwarebytes.
Malwarebytes.org.
Or you can go to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, and in the toolkit, Ed Rudell has put together a lot of resources, and you'll find the link to the free version of malwarebytes.org. And please, please get some security on your computer.
Yes. Now, who do you get your internet service through?
It's AT&T.
AT&T.
Okay. Oh, okay. No problem. You can get a free version of McAfee, antivirus and malware protection from them. Just go to AT&T.com/security, and I believe you can download it from there.
Free. Absolutely free.
Cost you nothing.
Please, 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 Chris, don't surf anymore without having some kind of security.
Yeah, just going to trusted sites, they can still come onto your computer, and it's not the site necessarily, although that's part of it, but they're have little crawlers that crawl out and can look at your computer, and they'll knock on the door, and if it's there's nothing there to protect it, nothing there to close the door and lock it, they're going to walk in.
Great show. Thank you very much.
All right, Chris. Thanks. And for anybody else out there, please, I know you've used certain trusted sites, but even they sometimes are getting nailed nowadays where the sites themselves are poisoned. And it sounds like he has something fairly innocuous right now, but don't try to go on the internet without protection.
You know, I've just been saying to people, and I know, you know, economics is always an issue.
Yep.
Just save your money up and get off that XP machine and move on to something new.
Absolutely.
Only for a couple of reasons. One, because of security, and also because if you want to be able to enjoy the full richness of the internet experience, you're going to need a more mature browser, and the older ones aren't going to work very well for that.
And if you get something that's new, even a refurbished machine right now, you could spend between $300 and $400. Now, that's not an insignificant sum for a lot of you out there listening. Hey, I'm on Social Security. I understand that as well. But the issue is that when you move into some of these newer machines, you have a lot of that security built in so many, many, many different ways. And it's a false economy, I think, to think that you're using a machine that only costs you $100 and it's running Windows XP and I'm saving money, but you don't really in the end if you get nailed by something out there that could be voided with a lot of the resources that are out there. Okay, let's move on. 800-859-0957 and Jack in Dexter. You have a question about a MacBook Air. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Jack.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, thank you. I enjoy your program very much.
Great. Thank you.
How can we help you?
Yeah, got a MacBook Air, and the LCD screen will not sync up with any video signal except 1024 by 768. If you go to any of the other video modes, it just tears and kind of disintegrates. Hmm. I don't know whether that's the graphics processor or what. I just need some ideas. And
okay.
Also like to know how to erase the hard drive completely. I mean, take everything off of it.
Mm-hmm.
How old is your MacBook Air?
It's a 2009, 2010, something like that.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things you want to do. Once you've got all your data backed up, if you really want to erase the machine and get it going again, what you can do is connect it to the internet with a wire, and then you're going to, once you're sure that there's nothing else that you want on it, you're going to turn the power off on the computer, and then turn it back on, and at the same time that you're turning it on, you're going to hold down the command key, and the letter R is in Robert key.
Okay.
And what that will do is it will make the computer attempt to connect back to Apple and restore the computer back to factory specs.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of doing that, it's going to completely wipe the hard drive and then restore the computer back to the factory specs it was when it came out of the box. So basically you'll be running, I believe, 10.6 for an operating system when it's all said and done.
Yeah, 10.6.3. This thing's in Spanish. That's a... makes it kind of hard for me. But
what?
Anyway, I'll do the guitar.
Do you have a MacBook Air with a Spanish keyboard on it?
No, it's English.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you do that, that'll put you back the way you want to be, and you can move forward.
You can specify your language, I think.
Could I have a bad driver in there? I guess they don't really call them drivers.
When was the last time you ran software update?
I haven't been able to.
Well, that's probably what the problem is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know there were some video drivers that were out there at one time for NVIDIA to be updated on your MacBook, and so that might be giving you a challenge.
How old is your MacBook Air?
He said 2009.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Sorry. 2009. Okay. Yeah, it does sound like, so that's Command. Cal, again, hit Command plus R.
Yes, and that'll invoke it to contact connect back to Apple, and they will download 10.6 back onto
a clean version of it on your hard drive, and you can start all over again. Okay,
yeah, that's after you pull the, you turn it off, and then turn it back on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Connect it to the internet.
Connect it to the internet. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Very good question. I'm so glad to hear that. That's one of the nice things about the Mac system and about Apple is that ability to just kind of start all over again and wipe it clean.
Yeah, and you can do the same thing on a Windows machine.
Yeah.
You just have to
system
be
restore can do that kind of thing, and you can also with the yes, you're right, with the system restore disks, if you've got them, you can do that.
Or restore partition
on the hard drive. A very good point. Okay, let's go to Harry in Port Huron. Harry, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing, Harry?
Good, fellas. I hope this one's an easy one for you. You mentioned Foster Finances a couple minutes ago, and I'm on limited income myself, yep, as Social Security, and I have three things here. I've got cell, and I've got my home phone, and I got internet, mm-hmm, and I'm paying about $80 more a month than I can do here, and I'm trying to see what I can do. I've got to keep my cell because I got lost outside in the wintertime, and I almost didn't make it back here to be talking with you.
Hey, Harry, we're gonna put you on hold for a second and come back in just a minute and see if we can do some things for you. By the way, Harry, if I'm not wrong, you're visually impaired, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so we're going to talk to you and help other folks.
Other times you've called.
Yeah, exactly. So, Harry, hang on. We'll see if we can give you a hand there. We do have room, though, for your call at 800-859-0957. Just before we get back to Harry from Port Huron and Ruth from Westland, our callers here at the end of the show, I want to remind you that we're here every Saturday from 5 to 6 to take your live calls. But during the week, you can get to us with your questions at internetadvisor.net. And there's a Contact Us button there. Hit that. Send us your questions, and we will get back to you as quickly as we can during the week. By the way, this is actually a two-hour program, and if you come back on Sunday nights to internetadvisor.net, we'll have a podcast there that combines both of the hours together, one that we pre-recorded for our affiliates just before this, in which we talk primarily about photography with Terry White, an expert on photography who will be in town tomorrow at the Mac Group meeting at the Birmingham Temple in the afternoon, I think at 3 o'clock, I think. Isn't it, Kelsey? Yeah. Around 3?
3 o'clock. And by the way, this is the starter of that Mac Group, which was one of the first in the country.
Yes, absolutely. He was the founder of it.
A number of years ago.
1986, which is wonderful. But I just want to let you know that on Sunday nights, we edit the whole thing together as a podcast, and you can get the 2 hours there. Okay, let's go back out to Harry from Port Huron. Harry? And your question was, for somebody who's on a limited income, and in your particular case, being connected, as you have, for instance, through the radio for many years, but also on the internet, is extremely important because you are visually handicapped,
it's
right?
It's huge. It's huge.
Enormous.
So, and I didn't have a cell phone in the past, and they said when that happened to me outside, what happened to me in 10-degree weather, somebody said, you have got to have a cell phone.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad I did. But my home internet is AT&T, and my home phone is on AT&T, and I just and then I've got the cell through Verizon. I just want to see if there's any way I can do something.
Well, I would say one of the things that strike me, guys, maybe you guys can tune in on this, but I would just say being between two companies is, first of all, going to be expensive for you because I think you'll find either Verizon or AT&T have packages that will, in the end, be cheaper than combining those two things together. Guys, what do you think about that?
Well, it all depends on a bunch of things. One of them is that if he wants to switch his cell phone from whatever other carrier to AT&T, does he get good AT&T service in the area?
Good point.
I do not hear. I do not hear.
Okay.
So there's an issue right there. Then the other thing is, I'm thinking, if anything that you could probably cut out of that equation almost immediately, at least in my mind, would be the home phone, unless you have an alarm system that has to be tied into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought about doing that and just going with the Verizon cell. My fear is if we have a bad storm around here at times, anybody does, your cell towers, if it goes down, then you got no cell service.
Well, you know, here's the deal, and I used to think about that same thing too, but here's how it goes. Any choice that you pick can have a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could have cell towers that could have a problem. You could have a landline phone that the wire outside on the pole could get torn off, so you could have a problem.
Gary and I, early on, about 20 years ago, had problems with squirrels chewing through the phone lines on the outside.
There, I hear you.
So, so every one of those choices comes with a possible problem.
Right.
So your feeling is, well, will I be uncomfortable if I only have one? Well, maybe if you're the sort of person that's like that, then you need the, quote, belt and suspenders, and you need both services.
Right.
But I'm saying that until you have a problem like that where you're in a bad situation, I think you could probably live with just a cell phone.
You know, the other thing that comes to me, it was interesting, Gary, we were talking about this during the break, and you were saying that with another carrier, that actually it proved to be cheaper to get all three services through that one carrier.
Right, if you had all three.
Yeah, if you have all three. They've got plans.
And actually, it was cheaper for two, but I was going to drop my home phone.
Right.
Okay.
And it turned out that it was more expensive to have just internet and the cable service, television service that we had.
So I would think...
But I was going to drop the home phone.
Yeah.
I would have done that if I could have made it cheaper.
I have done that. So I just have my cell phone plus internet
connection.
And I
know a lot of people that have.
A lot of people
like that. Oh, absolutely, sure.
Yeah. Now, but I think, Cal, you hit the nail on the head. For Harry, where do you get the best reception on your phone? That's a key thing. So Verizon, it sounds like, is the best one.
It's the only one that I get in here or outside where I'm at.
Right.
So, and then we were wondering about how much actual data do you move back and forth on your internet service?
Well, that's what I've been asking AT&T the past few months, and 1 month it was like 16 gig, and the next month it was about 8 gig.
16 gigabytes?
Yeah.
What do you do, Harry,
I don't know if it was all the on-the-air stuff that I did, or if it was radio or video or what, but... I thought about, I could get a 16 gig, I could get a whole bunch with Verizon, but you're paying $140 for...
Right.
All that internet through Verizon if you do it wirelessly.
Based on what you said, just, you know, doing a quick analysis in our heads,
sure.
I'm thinking the only thing that you could really do to save money might be to drop the home phone service,
right.
And that'll save you some cash there.
And we might have some plans that put things together, too.
So we were thinking about having you drop internet service through AT&T and just get it on as a hotspot on your phone, but at 16 gig, it doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
I would go to Verizon then and say, what packages do you have that combine smartphone with internet?
I will do that, guys, and I appreciate your help, and we'll let you get to the next one.
All right, Harry.
Thanks
a million. Boy, that's a lot.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, but he said he was looking at video. So you start streaming video, you can start chewing up a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah. Okay. But he's visually impaired, so he's not looking at it. I'm wondering if there's a way for him to stream the audio that would be less intensive than all the bandwidth you need for the video.
Well, let's go on and answer the next question. Because I don't know.
I don't know either. Ruth from Westland, how you doing, hon?
Hi, I'm doing good. But I was thinking to myself, what audio do you have? I mean, you've got maybe audio books, but video you would want to listen to. But what kind of movies would there be in audio for somebody?
Well, you would listen to the audio of the video tracks. I was wondering.
It's pretty hard, I think, to do that.
Now, you have a question about the desktop or laptop. Well, I can't see the question. It went off the screen here.
What I was wondering is which type of computer would last longer, a desktop or a laptop?
Now, that is actually a wonderful question. Very good one.
I'm going to say your laptop because you'll get fed up with the desktop and want to change it to a laptop anyway.
I'm going the other way around. I'm going to go the other way.
Because you were thinking like a geek and the actual components.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the deal.
I'll break the tie.
A laptop computer.
There's no way to tell.
I'm saying that a laptop computer is not going to last as long because you're handling it. You're moving it around. It's susceptible to the possibilities of droppage.
Good point.
Those sort of things. Also, the battery eventually is going to wear out in it. You're going to have to replace that. A desktop computer might last longer only because it doesn't get moved around a lot and that sort of thing.
It doesn't what?
It doesn't get moved around. It sits on your desk.
Oh. Right.
So, but the problem is, it's not so much the computer and how long it will last. It's how the user uses the computer. Because I know people who have laptop computers that are 10 years old. They mm-hmm. look great because they handle them and they take care of them and the whole shooting match. I know people with desktop computers that in 6 months, they look like heck because they sit over it, they smoke over it, and it's just a mess. So it all depends on the user and how they use the device.
Yeah, there's no way to really know.
No cigars, Ruth.
You know what? You've made a very, very important point. Because now, for instance, with me, I don't take my laptop computer around with me. The only time it gets moved is when I have to insert a DVD, because mm-hmm. it tells you have to lift it up mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, pushing it.
Yep.
Ruth, hang on a second, honey. We're running out of time here. That's what the music is telling me in the background. So I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll finish our conversation offline. Or if you'd like, you can give us an email at internetadvisor.net.
But hold on, and we'll talk to you afterwards.
Very good question. And a lot of it has to do with, I have a laptop that really never moves from my house except when I come down here to do this show.
And my only reason for saying laptop is that my desktops are all gone and I still have the old laptops.
I have one desktop at my house still. Ginny's using that one. Hey, folks, thanks so much for being with us. Now you heard it. Bring your questions back here on Saturdays, 5 to 6. The Internet Advisor, we're live here on 760 AM WJR. Thank you very much, Eric and Rich behind the glass, for making this work. And for the rest of you folks out there, thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find show notes for this podcast or others, visit internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.